Katie Waldman is one of the most voracious readers I know, which is good because that's her job. She writes the page-turner column for The New Yorker, and she's always got a pile of the most interesting and on-point books of the moment around. And while some people are talking about the big, serious books that they're finally going to tackle, Katie Waldman recently wrote a piece about something quite different.
We're here to talk about comic novels, and that has definitely been wonderful, and actually kind of a change of speed for me because I'm more of a wallower by nature than than an escapist. So I was doing a lot of kind of grim reading. I was working on a piece about diaries, and I was reading Civil War diaries and Anne Frank's diaries, and it was all about enclosure and loneliness. And suddenly I thought, you know, I actually don't need an even worse reflection of the way that I'm feeling. I would like to feel something completely different. So I started reading comic novels. And so the first novel that I want to recommend is not going to surprise anyone, but it's Right Ho Jeeves by P.G. Wodehouse. He is wonderful. He has written 23 of these Birdie and Jeeves stories. And Right Ho Jeeves is widely regarded, I think, as the crown jewel. Jeeves is the butler. He's stoic. He's brilliant. He's impeccable. And then Birdie is the colorful, well-to-do, fashionable young master who's really friendly and loyal and wants to help those close to him get out of scrapes. But he is unfortunately a bit of a dodo, and he has a glorious lack of self-awareness.
Katie, did you want to read a passage from this novel?
Sure. Well, I should introduce this by saying that Right Ho Jeeves is in what is known as the rebellious period of the Birdie and Jeeves relationship. So Birdie is quite offended that his friends are leapfrogging over him to consult Jeeves. So he is quite insulted, and he tries to take a soothing bath to take his mind off of the indignity. When one has taken the trouble to whack out a highly juicy scheme to benefit an in-the-soup friend in his hour of travail, it's pretty foul to find him giving the credit to one's personal attendant, particularly if that personal attendant is a man who goes about the place not packing mess jackets. The discovery of some toy duck in the soap dish, presumably the property of some former juvenile visitor, contributed not a little to this new and happier frame of mind. What with one thing and another, I hadn't played with toy ducks in my bath for years, and I found the novel experience most invigorating. For the benefit of those interested, I may mention that if you shove the thing under the surface with a sponge and then let it go, it shoots out of the water in a manner calculated to divert the most careworn. 10 minutes of this, and I was enabled to return to the bedchamber much more the merry old Bertram.
The thing that people comment on all the time, and you can't help but love in Wodehouse, is just the sentences, the language, the sound of it, the kind of jokes that seem inimitable. Where does that come from?
I mean, it's a great question because I think he creates these very ornate cataracts of nonsense. Like this person doesn't necessarily know where his sentence is going to end, and neither do you, but you're in it together.
Presuming that you're not just plowing your way through a stack of Wodehouse day after day, what else is on your hit parade?
Well, I wanted to bring up Richard Rousseau's novel Straight Man, in part because it partakes in a long and glorious tradition of grumpy professor novels. Straight Man is about an English professor named Hank, who is kind of wisecracking and anarchic. And he has all these problems in his department. First of all, there's no money, so he has no budget. Second of all, his colleagues are backbiting and rude, and one is physically violent. Third, he is estranged from his wife. His children are kind of failing to launch. So he has all these somewhat ivory tower problems. And kind of the climax of these various simmering pots is he ransoms a goose from the university duck pond and declares that he will kill it unless someone gives him a budget with which he can get things done in the English department. And it just gets crazier from there.
I've never read this. It sounds great. I never thought of Richard Rousseau as really funny writer, but somebody who's
It's an interesting point because I think he when I first found it, I was in middle school, and I thought it was the most charming book I had ever read. And now, you know, rereading it, it's not entirely lighthearted. The stakes are somewhat high. The emotions are real and often painful. And you kind of see that he's made a conscious decision to laugh instead of cry. And that's his way of claiming agency. There's a real understanding there that comedy sort of glows the brightest when it is set in a tragic frame.
What's next on your reading list?
So this one is called Lightning Rods, and it's by Helen DeWitt. Have you heard about this book?
I haven't.
She is a wonderful author. You may have read The Last Samurai, which was praised to the heavens. But this is a slightly smaller and a little bit weirder work. It's an office sex comedy. And the idea is that there's a lot of ambient sexual tension in the American workplace. And so this one guy has the idea to deploy temp workers that provide anonymous sex to people in a corporation and a company so that they don't sexually harass the actual female employees.
That is a bizarre sounding novel.
Yeah. Well, one thing that's kind of funny about it is you haven't seen Better Call Saul, have you? The sort of Breaking Bad spinoff?
I have.
Oh, okay. So this is, the main character is very Saul-like. He's kind of hapless on one end, but also this kind of silver-tongued opportunist with flexible morals who we actually start to think in his rhythms because DeWitt inhabits his thoughts. And that itself is somewhat audacious and funny.
Now, you keep hearing about readers who say, okay, now that I've got this, you know, thanks to this terrible thing, this opportunity, that I'm finally going to read and then fill in the blank. Do you have anything like that on your list?
I should finish Moby Dick, right?
Yes, I should. Yes. Yes. Do you always come up short with Moby Dick?
You know, I actually really love it. It's very enveloping. I don't have that drive to finish it. Because I like having it there as something that I can always, always make a little bit of progress on.
Well, here's to good reading. Thank you so much, Katie.
Thank you.
Katie Waldman has more recommendations for comic novels, and you can read her on Books New and Old at newyorker.com.